Well, thank you very much. I've been looking forward to being back and ministering with you for, well, I guess now 2 months. It's been a good semester so far, but I have greatly been looking forward to being here again because I so enjoyed how hospitable you were to me last time and allowing me to come and just minister to you as best as I could. And so today I wanted to think through another way that I could be a blessing to you in the sense of administering God's Word. And so if you would turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 3, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 11, we're going to be looking at this passage today. But again, I want to thank you so much for having me out and allowing me to preach. It's such a blessing today. So Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 11. So I'll give a little bit of an update of where I'm at and who I am. My name is Lane Saunders. I'm a senior pastoral studies major at Maranatha Baptist University. Greatly looking forward to graduate this May, and then the day after I get married. So that'll be quite a weekend. I'm really looking forward to that. After that, I move to Colorado, where I'm from, but I moved to a different part of Colorado. Lord's provided a church for me to be at. They called me in August, and so Lord willing, I'll be serving there, and I'm looking forward to that so much. Really excited to be there. That's in Bennett Baptist Church. That's where I'm headed. So if you would just be praying for me in that regard, that as God is moving us and throughout these next phases, that He would give me and my future wife strength to rebuild this church. This church has been without a pastor for 5 years, and I'm greatly looking forward to just bringing some life in the sense of they need a preacher, consistent preacher, and Lord willing, we'll grow the church, and that's what I want to see God do there. And they're excited about it too, and so they're looking forward to all the things we have planned. This summer, I have planned a VBS, and Calvary Baptist Church in Watertown, Wisconsin's youth group is coming out to help me run that, and so I'm excited about that too. There's so many things to be looking forward to, but even through all of those things that are on our calendar that we look forward to, maybe things that we're not necessarily looking forward to but still are on our calendar, we still have to come back to the fact that all of the things that we do here on earth are ordained by God. They're planned. He knew that we were going to do them, especially with trials. He knows the ones we'll face. But Ecclesiastes 3:11 is meant to be an encouragement to us. So if you would, let's look at verses 1 through 11. Starting verse 1, Ecclesiastes 3, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, at a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, and a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, and a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Let's take time to pray. God, we want to give you this time, and I pray that as we study Ecclesiastes 3, that you would allow us to put ourselves into perspective of where we are in our relationship with you, of how you are guiding us each day. And Lord, I pray that as we study this passage, that you would encourage us through it, that we would be able to see that even if we're in times that we don't really understand what's going on and that we can't understand clearly why things are happening around the world or to us, Lord, I pray that you would help us to always come back to the truth that you are in control and you have ordained this. Lord, we thank you for this time. Pray that you would bless it as we study. In your name I pray. Amen. So Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 11 is rich in its poetic wisdom about time and the purpose of it. If you haven't noticed, most people wear a watch or an Apple Watch or a smartwatch of some kind, but we're all constantly regulated by a clock. You know, this is a great helpful organizational tool if you think of it that way. We have to be on time for different meetings. We have to be on time for doctor's appointments. And we have to wake up so that we can finish all the things that we're called to do each day. We are monitored by time. And then when framed through the lens of Christ's love for the church, this time, it becomes a powerful call to trust in his divine sovereignty and then hope in his renewal. We are all structured on a timeline, and we serve a God who loves us enough to work within that timeline, doesn't he? He works within that timeline, and I hope we see that today. But today, we must look at how we're appointed for redemption, and we're looking at Christ's timing and the church's triumph. So Christ's sovereign love orchestrates every season for the good of his bride, the church, calling her to hope and endure and to flourish in him. So first we see that Christ's love redeems all seasons. We see that in verses 1 through 8. Let's look at that with me. Verses 1 through 8, we see there's time in every season, a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal and a time to break down and to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow and a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, and a time of war and a time of peace. There are so many things that the writer of Ecclesiastes is pointing out to us that we all live and experience. You've experienced times to be joyful. You've experienced times to mourn. You've experienced times to receive gifts and to give gifts and to lose things that we do have, whether it be those gifts or abilities or friends and family. We all together are unified in this passage by all of these seasons affecting every single one of us at some point in your life. Just as trees shed their leaves in the autumn to prepare for rebirth of spring, which I love spring, and this is the best time of year for me, really, because I like when it's lighter in the evening, right, and then a little darker in the morning, because I feel like I can get more things done. That's just me, you know, but it's in preparation for spring, and our lives also experience these cycles of loss and renewal. When we face challenges, we must remember that it is just a season. God is working behind the scenes to prepare us for something new. Something that he has for us, every rhythm of life, joy and sorrow and building and loss. These are all divinely orchestrated by God, like verse 1 was stating. But God uses perfect timing. And why is it important that we realize that God uses perfect timing? Well, God is in himself purpose, is perfect. So he must use perfect timing. Why is that important? Because Christ entered the time at the perfect season to redeem those under the law. If you remember back in Galatians 4 verses 4 and 5 say, "But when the appropriate time had come, God sent out his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we may be adopted as sons with full rights." Christ entered the world. Christ entered time at the specific time in which God ordained. The church's seasons, we do have them, and every church experiences them. Their persecution, their growth, maybe stagnation, maybe revival, these all are not outside of God's love, but within his redemptive arc from the dawn of time until eternity. So everything that takes place here on earth and within our church is ordained by this fact, that God desires his children to grow and to do so in the body of Christ. You say, "Preacher, you know, sometimes I get really frustrated at my church family. You know, Mrs. McGillicuddy or Brother so-and-so, you know, they're always fighting, and we see all this contention within our ranks." But that shouldn't be there. But at the same time, you were ordained. We all, as believers, are ordained to be in a church body, to flourish in the body. What does the Bible say? Well, the body is vast. There's a lot of different members of this body. We all have different giftings. We all have different ways in which we can serve the Lord and serve each other for our growth, right? But sometimes it's difficult, isn't it? It can be very hard sometimes to get along with people, but we must embrace our present season as part of Christ's loving and sovereign work. Wouldn't you love it if there's a time when we will all get along just well, you know? We won't fight. We won't get mad at each other for not bringing, you know, so-and-so's favorite dish to the potluck, and now you've got a whole stir. No, there will be that time, won't there? When Christ comes again and we all enter glory with him, there's not going to be any fighting. There's not going to be any contention. But right now, this is the season we're in. We have to work within the church, and we have to get along together. Christ's lordship over time is every moment, joyful or painful, is under that oversight, as the verse 1 says. Verse 1 in Ecclesiastes, for everything there's an appointed time, an appropriate time for every activity on earth. And then we also see that the redemptive purpose in every season. God is actively working all things together for good for those who love him. That's Romans 8:28. But there's also some important action steps that we need to focus on in order to dwell on Christ's redeeming love for us. First, we must avoid escapism. Sometimes I'm really good at being an escape artist, of mentally, that is. I don't like where I'm at right now, God. I want to be over here. I want to be graduated and married. Ah, I don't like homework. All of these different things. We wish to be somewhere else, don't we? You know, I may wish to be on a beach towel, watching the waves come in. For me, I prefer the mountains, but, you know, to each his own. We must challenge the tendency within ourselves to wish for a different season, whether longing for the past, because sometimes we can do that. Oh, I had it so good back when I was, you know, was such and such, and oh, man, I wish I was there. And then we do the opposite. Oh, I wish I was way over there in front of me. We must avoid that tendency and instead be present and faithful to the Lord. For why? Well, he has allowed us to be here. Philippians 4, 11 through 13 say this. Not that I speak in respect of want, this is Paul, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. See, Paul is pointing out, yeah, I've been without. I hadn't had food for X amount of times. I'm in prison, I'm in shackles, and facing all these trials. But then he also points back, but yet, I've been in those times when I had all that I could ever want, when I was blessed by you churches, when I was blessed by the Lord giving me food, raiment, all these different things. But he's putting them both together. He's saying in the times when we're frustrated that we're not where we want to be or not where we were, remember the both. You can't just dwell on the past. You can't just dwell on the future, because you can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. So we must avoid that escapist mindset. We also must cultivate spiritual formation today. You know, a lot of times in our walk with the Lord, you think, okay, well, you know, I have areas that I need to work on. You know, every one of us do. If you're not raising your hand to that, you need to examine your life a little bit more. All of us are working on our walk with the Lord and are at different stages. But sometimes, have you ever thought this? You know, it's kind of busy right now. I know in a few weeks things will calm down. I'll work on my relationship with the Lord then, because I'll have more time. I'll just really, really focus. I've done that. But yet, that's not what Christ calls us to do. He calls us to be consistent, forming our relationship with him currently. Spiritual growth often occurs in the seemingly mundane or challenging seasons, doesn't it? In the times when we're like, man, I really can't see why I have to keep doing, you know, little piddly tasks here and there to just kind of get by. And especially within our spiritual life, reading a few verses every day or maybe a few chapters every day, writing down some notes and maybe following a devotional book, this seems like I need to be doing more, or maybe it seems like I'm not doing enough. Nonetheless, those mundane challenges and those mundane seasons, God may be doing his deepest work when things feel slow or uncertain. And so you can't just stop. You have to continue. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5 speaks about this too. Look at that with me. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore, oh, that's not 2 Timothy. Let me go to 2 Timothy 1 through 5. It says, I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and kingdom, preach the message and be ready, whether it be convenient or not, to reprove or rebuke or exhort, complete patience and instruction. For there will be a time when all people will not tolerate sound teaching. Instead, follow their own desires. You see, he's pointing out here that there's going to be a time when people are not looking for truth in the areas where they should be. Do you see that in the world around you? Yeah. Guess where they're looking for truth? The news, newspapers, you know, Google in general, anywhere, anywhere but God's Word. People are seeking for truth and filling it with falsehood. There's going to be times like that. Well, we're in it. Every age of the church has had some sort of situation like that. But you have to look for Christ's compassion in the present. Jesus meets us with fresh mercies every morning, not just in past victories or future hopes, presently. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 say, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. What does it say? Great is thy faithfulness. As we are faithful to the Lord and in our relationship with him, guess what? He's faithful to us. And could you also say, he's more faithful to us than we are of him? Yeah. Is that a reality check for you in your walk with the Lord? Yeah, it is. He is more faithful to me than I am of him, and that should cause me to continue to grow. And another hope we have is that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get an amen? Christ has never changed. Has God used unexpected or difficult seasons to shape your faith? Have you allowed him to shape you through them? That's the biggest part of it. Yeah, every believer experiences trials. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school. But if you walk through those trials and you don't allow God to shape you and mold you more into his son through them, you have wasted it. You have wasted it. No season is wasted when experienced in the context of gospel-centered fellowship, though. This is the reason God set up the church to be one body, but many parts. The church and its members are meant to be united together in Christ. So through verses 1 through 8, we see that Christ's love redeems all season. And you're thinking, wow, point one, and we're already, you know, X amount of minutes in. That's a long point. You're right. But it's because verse 11 is kind of where I want to park. Okay, so Christ plants eternity within the heart of his church and his people. Look at verse 11, the first part. It says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning of the end. But the first part, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Think of this. Have you ever noticed a beautiful tapestry? Something that's woven together. A tapestry is woven, and sometimes you can find it really hard to see what the picture is. Like, if you have it turned around and you're looking at the back of it, it's hard to notice what is actually seen. But the weaver, as he weaves this tapestry thread by thread on the loom, he painstakingly is doing this, and he uses a shuttle to put them into place. The weaver knows exactly in his mind the end picture that he wants, right? And it can be really hard for us to watch over his shoulder or to hold it up from behind and see what the picture is going to be, what the final picture is going to be. The physical product must be turned around, and then the final picture is revealed. See, in the life of a believer, God inserts different threads into our life. And sometimes he weaves into our lives threads of pain or loss or grief, sometimes depression, anxiety. These different threads make up our life. Threads that we can't understand in the moment. But yet, some believers are able to see the tapestry of their lives in a bit of a fuller sense, in the sense that they've lived a little longer and can understand and can look back a little bit more. But nonetheless, each one of us will not see the completed tapestry of our life until the day that Christ returns, where, Lord willing, all of the pain and the trials that we've experienced result in a tapestry that looks more like Christ. This can be a beautiful picture of your life, is as all of the different things that we're facing, trials and temptations and things like this, they have a meaning and they have a purpose. And we will see, and we are promised that though we see fragmentation in our life right now, Christ sees future glory. And this is true in the church too. Though the church sees fragmentation in the world today, Christ sees future glory. He beautifies what feels broken and unclear. Through his Spirit, he plants eternal hope and purpose and transformation in his people. See, it's important to look at this. See, the church is not defined by its present condition, but by its future glorification. In Ephesians 5, 25 and 27, Ephesians 5, 25 and 27, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." We must, as God's people and as the body of Christ, as the church, we must be working through and through to remain pure as a church, to remain pure individually, so that when Christ comes again, and he is coming again, when he comes again, we will have something of substance to give him. It will be an offering of praise to him. Christ plants eternity within his church in the sense that we are looking for that day to come, so we got to work now. We have to work now. We have to make sure that we're cultivating our spiritual side of our walk with the Lord, and that we're avoiding, "Oh, but Lord, I want you to come. I want you to come now. Why can't you just come today?" He left you here right now. We're to work. But then we also must trust in God's unfolding plan. Look at the second part of verse 11. It says, "So that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." God withholds our vision, doesn't he? We can't understand everything in our life. We can't see the future. We don't understand why different trials happen within churches. We don't understand why some of them completely combust from within and fail and die. They're gone. We don't know why that happens all the time. We can't see that. But he withholds our vision. This mystery in God's providence doesn't invite us to be scared. "Oh, I don't know what's going to happen." No, it invites us to worship God. Because even though we don't know the future of what exactly, specifically, is going to happen day one, hour one to hour 24, is still, we're called to worship now. We're called to be united under Christ now. Christ walks with his church through the unknowns with unfailing love. So you can see this too. We use the illustration of a tapestry. We also use an illustration of stained glass too. When you view it from the inside, the dark lines kind of seem chaotic, right? Like, "Oh, I don't..." It's kind of hard to really see unless it's flipped around the other way. But from the outside, light reveals a beautiful design. You know, as the light shines through, you see, wow, all these colors come together and form a picture of what is to be. God wants us to come together in our individual parts of the body of Christ to serve Him in the church, to worship Him in the church. Why? Because when all of the pieces come together of each of our individual parts, and we are promoting unity in Christ, and we are promoting the purity of the church, what God sees is a beautiful picture. But oftentimes, we struggle with that tendency, our sin nature, right? The old man that still is clinging so much to us. And it looks broken. But Christ comes to redeem. Christ comes to unite us all together, to point us towards that. In Romans 8, if you turn there with me, Romans 8, 38 through 39. Romans 8, 38 and 39. It says this, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us from Christ's love. If you are in Christ, if you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, nothing can pluck you out of that, we know, but also nothing can separate us from Christ's love. So as we seek to flourish in the church, in the scenario which Christ has left us in, He wants us to guard this church. He wants us to protect each and every one of believers within the church, to be united. But nothing is going to be able to separate us from that. And that's a huge blessing. Because don't you see in the world a lot of hurt? Don't you see in the world a lot of confusion? Yeah, I mean, sometimes you find yourself reading the news or watching it on the television, and you just have to turn it off because it's so sickening. This world is riddled with sin. This world doesn't even care that it's riddled with sin. Some of them don't know. Some of them do know, and they're just acting in blatant disrespect towards God and the Bible. But we know the truth. And so because of that, we must go out, don't we? We have to go out of this church and tell the world about what we are united under. We need to tell the world about Christ. Evangelism within a church body, if it is not present, that church body is weakened. Why? Well, a church is not supposed to be a stagnant thing, is it? We're called to life. We're called to be growing. We're called to be witnessing. This is the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and share the gospel. That's not just the pastor. That's not just the deacons. That's every single member within the church. You may say, well, that's kind of difficult. I'm retired. I stay at home all day. Okay, right? But maybe you go out to a restaurant. Maybe you go get gas. Maybe you're walking and you see people. Make those opportunities and take those opportunities to share the gospel. It's not easy. I'm in college studying to be a pastor, and they have classes all about how you can share the gospel. You have apologetics, you have evangelism, you have pastoral evangelism, you have all these different ways and methods that you can use. But sometimes I feel that those can kind of get in the way of my mentality of desiring to share. Oh, I have so and so. I'm gonna. Oh, what? Oh, I need to remember which format, which version of sharing the. No. Do you know the gospel? Have you worked through that in your own life? Have you cultivated that in your own spiritual walk with the Lord today, yesterday, in the past, and working to do so in the future? All of these things that Christ is working within us to again weave that tapestry, to again use us as the picture of what the world might see. Are you cultivating your life a life that reflects God and His work in your life? So that when you are talking to people, just in the public, just maybe you're going to pick up pizza or whatever it may be. We picked up pizza last night, so I just use it as an example. But maybe you're doing that and you just talk, hey, Do you know 100% where you'll be when you die? Do you know that you can have certainty of that? We know that you can have certainty of that. So why don't we share it more? Why don't we share it more? Because here's the thing. Romans 38 and 39, it says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. No angels, no principalities, no powers, no things present, things to come. So why are we scared? We do face that fear. We need to be cultivating this. We need to be working on this. So we are looking from temporal hope. We're talking about this timeline, temporal hope to eternal hope. It can be difficult, can't it? Because we're all at different stages of our life. We're all at different stages of looking at our clocks, looking at our timelines of things that we've done, things we have left to do. But yet Christ is still calling us to focus back towards the fact that we're here today. And so we need to be making the most of how we're living for Him today. So Ecclesiastes is not just a call to be worried. It's not a call to be worried at all, but to actually have hope and to have reverent trust in Christ, that if Christ has placed us here today on purpose, which we know He has, if we weren't here today, where else would we be? Well, glory. So then we wouldn't have to be talking about this. But He's placed us here today. So if that's the case, we have to focus on what Christ has left us here to do. Share the gospel. Flourish as a church body. Quit quarreling between each other when we're fighting about useless things, when we're fighting about doctrines that need to be fought about. Stand. The world has a lot of things about us that that we need to be standing more for, a lot of things that we need to be promoting what God's Word is saying more than we're doing. So stand for those things. But when we're just trying to pick at each other, to fight at different things, to quarrel with one, is that what Christ left us here to do? No, He called us to flourish in Christ. Christ is not only present in every season, but He is shaping each and every one of us for His glory and for the church's good. Again, it calls us back to when Christ comes for His bride, the church. He is calling us to be shaping and molding each and every one of these believers, one another, for that purpose. So that when Christ comes, He is met with a church that has flourished in Him. So as you walk through life today and in the future, and you experience these trials, because we're all going to at some point, remember that God's ultimate plan is to make all things beautiful, like Ecclesiastes 3:11 says. Remember, go back with me and look. It says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. We talked about His time being perfect. We may not understand it, but His timing is perfect. Also, He hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Sometimes our view is limited, but what Christ has called you to do now is what we must focus on, not what I can't see in the future. Christ makes all things beautiful in His perfect and sovereign time. And it is only when He does this that we will be able to see the full and final picture. And Lord willing, when we meet Him in heaven, if He doesn't call us by rapture, He will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."